Good morning. On the 21st of October, or 21st of October, WGXC co-presents a one-night screening of How to Survive the Plague. It is the film that chronicles the history of ACT UP and TAG, groups that in the end, they saved millions of lives from HIV. The film chronicles a model of grassroots activism unmatched since the 20th century, and a model for groups like Occupy Wall Street and others in the 21st century. And I am stoked because I have a guest in the house with me is Victor Mandolia, who was, you were in the scrum.
What's that?
You were in that scrum.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So, Victor, how did this movie come about?
Well, there are actually two films that were released almost at exactly the same time. How to Survive a Plague, which was directed by David France, and the other film, which is called United in Anger, The History of ACT UP. And I'm hoping to bring the other film up at some point as well, but we had to start somewhere. So we're very excited to have How to Survive a Plague. It'll be at Basilica Hudson on Sunday at 7 p.m. There's also going to be a question and answer period after the film, because we've noticed that the film leaves a lot of questions for people. So we're going to be four members of ACT UP will be on stage after the film, and we'll answer people's questions, and we'll see where it goes. I'm not sure how many questions or how long the question and answer will go, but we're open to as long as people want to talk about it.
Well, as you've heard me talk before, I was in the movement directly coming back from Vietnam in the 60s, and I lived in Brooklyn and Manhattan, so I remember the movement. And I also remember that there wasn't a lot of friendly greetings between the people in the movement and the New York City Police Department during that time.
Well, it was the same for ACT UP. I mean, ACT UP never applied for police permits or, public assembly permits or anything. We did plan our events and actions in the open in general. I mean, there were always secret things that would happen in the background, but the legal picket, the legal demonstration would always be planned openly. We knew that there were FBI and other agents in the meeting. So we found that you just say what you're going to do and you do it. And while this was a time before 9/11 and the clampdown that ensued after that, I'm sort of amazed at some of the things that we got away with, but we did. And so the film will chronicle a lot of the actions. It's particularly focused, this film is, on the getting drugs into people's bodies. At the time that ACT UP was formed, there was no treatment, and then there was one treatment, AZT, and and people were dying left and right. And so the main purpose of ACT UP was to get the drugs released and get them tested quickly and get them into people's bodies. And in the end, that is what ACT UP accomplished. But it was a long time in coming.
Now, what year was this? I'm trying to remember. Was this in the mid-70s?
No, it was late 80s. The very first cases of HIV and AIDS, which wasn't called HIV at the time, but the very first cases were, I believe, in 1980 or 81. And and I believe that ACT UP formed in 1987. I joined in 1988, so it was late 80s and early 90s was ACT UP at its heyday, but ACT UP still exists, and ACT UP New York and many chapters around the country and the world are still functioning as well.
So there are many people out there who are, let's say, about 20 years old, or they were children during that time, who have... and I find this when I talk about civil rights or when I talk about the peace movement, they have no concept of what it was really like.
Right.
And it's because things have changed and right. for what it's worth have gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give the listeners, as if though you were, if I were a 19-year-old kid, and well, what are you talking about, 1989? Right. What was talk about that atmosphere, because I remember that.
Well, certainly in New York, it was a very scary time. People were literally dying just left and right, hundreds and hundreds and then thousands of people would be diagnosed. And then within a very short time, usually within 6 months, they were dead. And there was no treatment. The government was not addressing the problem at all. In fact, the president of the United States at the time was Ronald Reagan, and he never said the word AIDS ever until his buddy Rock Hudson, the film star, got AIDS, and then all of a sudden it was personal for him, and he was able to utter the word AIDS. But the reality was that the government was not addressing the problem, mainly because it was mainly gay people and people of color who were dying or were being infected, and there was no particular drive by the government to address that problem. The hardest part was that there was just no treatment, and the doctors in New York at the time were overwhelmed. Their whole caseload was passing away in front of them. They were completely burned out, and there just was no treatment. So what ACT UP set about to do was to, number one, whatever treatments were available had to be affordable, and the prices had to come down. The price for AZT, I think, was $16,000 a year. and it didn't work, so or at least not on its own. So the profiteering on HIV drugs was the target, and the FDA and the Food and Drug Administration and the National Institutes of Health were the main focus of ACT UP's demonstrations and demands that the drug approval process be completely streamlined and changed the way that it was. It used to take more than 5 years right. to get a drug to market. And our demand was that we need and we expect that you would get from the test tube to the market in 2 years.
Well, I you mentioned Rock Hudson. And I was remembering some of the things they were unfortunate but fortunate because they acted as a catalyst to get people going. And I also remember when Magic Johnson announced that he was HIV positive. What were the kind of things that were the main catalyst that said where you at one point saw, well, okay, now they're finally waking up. They're going to get busy.
Well, there was a tipping point when, you know, at first when we went to the Food and Drug Administration, they just looked at us like we were crazy. but what happened on the inside of ACT UP, you know, we had demonstrations in the streets, and we were very good at getting media attention and graphics, and you know, the imagery was all together because we had so many brilliant people in the organization, people who were in advertising or in marketing or television. So we that side we kind of knew how to do, but the harder part was actually learning and understanding what HIV was, how it worked, what the chemical mechanisms of the drugs were on it. So a group of people, and this is one of the things that is focused on in the film, a small group of people formed the Treatment and Data Committee, which was, there were about eight committees in the organization. But the Treatment and Data Committee set about trying to find every bit of information about the drugs, and would then report it to the whole floor. The ACT UP meetings every week were at the Lesbian and Gay Community Center in New York on 13th Street, and it was literally 300 people every single week, and then plus meetings all week. So Treatment and Data would report on possible drugs that might work, or orphan drugs that maybe had been tried for cancer but then were abandoned because they didn't work for cancer but they might well work for HIV. So the people on the Treatment and Data Committee learned more than doctors or scientists about HIV. And when we would make these demands of the drug companies or the government, we would also put fact sheets out, and we would explain what we wanted and how we expected to get there. And at a certain point, particularly Anthony Fauci, who was the head of the NIH, he realized that we were more advantaged to him by working together than we were just keeping us on the outside of buildings screaming at them. And so that was when ACT UP kind of worked this inside outside method, which was like we would pressure people on with demonstrations and shutting down buildings or mm-hmm. or you know, a big demonstration at Grand Central Station, for instance. But we had the expertise to help them get done what we needed them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was that's a big focus of the film. And I think that it's pretty amazing that young people, I mean, most of us were in our 30s or younger, and we really became experts on in a medical field that we had no idea about. It was not anything that we had been involved with previously, but we needed to do it in order to save our lives.
Well, if you just joined us, we are talking with Victor Mandoli, and I'm going to mess up you are the chairman of the...
I'm the chairman of the Hudson Democrats, and I'm the vice chair of the county Democrats, but... in my role with the film, I'm really just helping present it.
Right.
I kind of schmoozed a few people to make it happen.
And he's also a host of his own show here, which comes on Wednesdays. Comes on Wednesdays, and we're discussing the film that is coming out and will be shown on Sunday. And the name of the film, who thought of that title?
I suppose it was the director. It's a pretty great title. You know, one of the things that we were all involved in ACT UP and the organization, and you forget what an impact it had and what it accomplished. And one of the things that I have really been stricken by with the film coming out is really what an impact a small group of people that were determined and were not going to take no for an answer, what we were able to accomplish and literally saved millions of lives. The drug cocktails that are out now would never have been available at this point had the old ways of doing things been in place. So it's something that we can all be very proud of, but also people, I think, could really learn a lot from understanding what happened and what was done on a shoestring budget and with people who previously had no experience in the healthcare field.
The other part that I wanted to talk to you about, and that was the where we are now mm-hmm. in the treatment, because most people sometimes things just get off the radar,
right?
You know, all of a sudden it's not a big deal anymore, so nobody's talking about it.
And now that people aren't dying like flies,
yeah, right.
But HIV is still a serious problem. It's a major health problem. It's a chronic condition. These drugs were made it possible so that people with HIV can live at least maybe not a completely full life, but a much more extended life than what had previously been dealt to people. So that's a big change. But the drugs are relatively toxic. I know that when I was taking one of the drugs that I was taking gave me kidney stones. You know, you don't want to be HIV positive, and you want to make sure that you practice safe sex, and if you are an injection needle user, to use clean needles and not share needles. You know, it still is a very, very hard life, but it's a lot better than it certainly was. And
you are active now in this area, correct? Mm-hmm. You're active in the movement into making sure with young people or
I'm sort of on the periphery. I was a founding member of the Hudson Pride Foundation, but I'm not on the board any longer. Although I certainly work with the board a lot. And one of the things that we're doing with this with the movie screening is that your admission will be will actually go to the Hudson Pride Foundation and the AIDS Council of Northeast New York. We're splitting the proceeds, and there'll also be a table of literature from the AIDS Council, and I'm assuming that the Pride Foundation will also have materials there as well. So it is a in addition to sort of a look back, we are doing the right thing today as well, and we're thrilled to have the AIDS Council and the Pride Foundation working with us on the screening. And you know what, I did want to mention about the screening. This is this screening is a pretty big deal here. The movie has been released theatrically, and it came out on September 21st, I'm sorry. And for the last 3 weeks, it has been the highest rated film in the country.
Wow.
3 weeks in a row, and that's like it's a compendium of all of the critics that use the star rating system. So it's basically has 4 stars and is the highest rated film in the country. So and it won't be released theatrically in this area for quite some time. So this is the only real opportunity to see it locally for a while. It's playing in New York, in San Francisco, and New Orleans, but major cities. But it wouldn't make it upstate for a while. So it's a really great opportunity, and we're thrilled to have WGXC sponsoring and running PSAs for it.
Yes.
There's a Facebook page to reserve tickets. We're not selling advance tickets, but the people who sign up on the Facebook page will be given first priority to the tickets.
Okay. I want to talk about that in a minute, and I also want to get your feel for the future. Mm-hmm. Of the movement, of the work on HIV. I'm talking with Victor Mandolian. I'm talking to him about the upcoming movie, How to Survive a Plague, which will be screened at the Basilica Hudson, 110 South Front Street, near the Amtrak depot, on this coming Sunday. We were talking about the film and his experience in the movement. And in a minute, I'm going to ask him about the future. What do you see down the road?
Well, I didn't really quite answer your question about young people and about how they might not understand what took place. You know, last year we in New York State we passed the marriage equality bill, and it's a momentous and very, very big thing for the country, for the state, and for the LGBT community, and for a group of people who have been denied their rights, just like blacks have been, and Hispanics, mm-hmm. And women. Gay people have been denied equal rights in this country. So it's great that we're moving to a more level playing field. It certainly isn't level, as it is not for women or for people of color. But things are getting better. But I think that one of the things that particularly young people should be aware of is that and I think most people understand that this was a big deal to pass marriage equality last year, but there was a time not very long ago, like, you know, around the time that ACT UP was formed, late 80s, early 90s, that gay marriage was not, you couldn't, oh, goodness. It was not even, there was, you couldn't even think about it. There was not, that was not going to happen in this country. And you know, and we had a government who turned their backs on whole communities of people because I'm being overly dramatic, but you know, these groups were expendable. They didn't matter to the government or to big business, and I really do think that ACT UP is, in many ways, I mean, there have been brothers and sisters who came before ACT UP as well that, you know, that got us to today. But but the movement of ACT UP, which, and then Queer Nation, which was a group that shot off of ACT UP, really drove the modern gay civil rights movement, I think, and made it so that these, marriage equality could even be on the table. And it was demanding health care and demanding that the government use the resources of the government to save people's lives and then accomplishing that.
Okay. I'm going to give you a break for a second, and because I've got a question to ask you as an old civil rights hack. And then we can go over this information one more time about where the who, what, when, and where of the filming. We're talking to Victor Mendolia, and we're talking about the upcoming film at the Basilica, which is called How to Survive a Plague, and we'll be right back. Poor Joan, they just didn't want her to play. Joan decided that you didn't deserve a break. I think that's what it was.
That was Joan Baez for the listeners.
That was Joan Baez. We Shall Overcome. I was trying to give. And I wanted to close by asking you a question from my experience. And I find that there are a lot of young people, and I'm talking African Americans, who, because of the lack of of experience and understanding what had to be done in order for them to get what they have now, don't quite appreciate it at the level. They seem to think that, you know, okay. And I'm wondering if you're looking down the road 10 years from now or 20 years at the most, will gay people be getting married and have lost the thought of what had to be done to get there?
Well, I think that's already happening. but, you know, movies like this and books and other media that comes out that sort of tells the story, I think, it serves everybody well. I think, and it's not even about young people, it's about all people. Remembering where we came from, trying to learn from those experiences and to improve upon the situation. And so I'm so happy that the film is out, that we're going to be screening the film. I think for people who many people who are a little older, they think of ACT UP as just, you know, like all those protests and all, like, making noise and being rude, mm-hmm. and doing all these, you know, horrible things. But the reality is that if we didn't do that, we would not have won this, you know, momentous and huge achievement of these developed drugs and effective treatments for HIV.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was referring to lacking the knowledge that what had to be done to get you where you are.
Yeah, but I think that's what the film is about. It's about informing a new audience and also going back for people who were active and or were aware of what was going on. They will have a refresher course and understand a lot of what happened in the background that they may not have understood from newspaper headlines about demonstrations and things like that. So I think the more education and the more people know about our past, people mm-hmm. of color and the gay rights movement and, all of those things, I think enhance us and make us better people for having understood those things.
All right. The name of the movie is How to Survive a Plague. The date, October the 21st, 7 p.m. The place, Basilica Hudson, 110 South Front Street near the Amtrak train depot in Hudson. And the Facebook, what's the Facebook
on? I mean, it's a long address. But if you go to Facebook and just search for How to Survive a Plague Hudson, you'll find it. Let us know that you're coming and how many tickets and the room that we're going to be showing the film in usually holds 140 people, but we can hold up to 200. But we do kind of need to know who's coming and how many people. So please let us know if you're unable to use Facebook, you don't use Facebook or whatever, you could get in touch with me. My email address is vicmen@me.com. It's vicmen@me.com. And you can say, reserve me 2 tickets and I'll hold them at the door for you.
All right. And Victor, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. It's so nice to be on the other side of the microphone.
As soon as I saw the email, I said, I've got to have him as a guest. And I really appreciate
you. I really appreciate you helping
down.
Us get the word out.
Well, of course, I guess you'll be talking about it tomorrow on your show.
No, I'm on hiatus for 3 weeks.
Oh, that's right.
Since I am the chairman of the political party, it gets tough to be objective. last year I took off a couple of weeks, and I'm taking 3 weeks off this time as well. But I'll be back the day after Election Day with a whole wrap up and a number of candidates.
Victor Mandolian, a veteran of the gay rights movement, a veteran of the movement to speed up the medications for HIV, and a fellow programmer here at WGXC. Thank you very much, Victor.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to WGXC.